Welcome to Awakening Spirituality and Business Today, inspiring you to succeed with all your heart and soul. Your hosts today are Daniel Gutierrez, international business consultant, motivational speaker, and best-selling author, and Johnny Hernandez, proven business executive, passionate life and business coach, and founder of Living with Purpose, whose mission is to inspire teams and individuals to achieve their personal and professional best. Together, they'll light the path to help you achieve your absolute best. Without further ado, let's turn it over to Daniel and Johnny for today's illuminating discussion.
Well, welcome back, everyone, and happy holidays. My goodness, it's been so long since I've been on the show. Johnny's kind of been carrying the weight here as I've been traveling very heavily. Johnny, welcome to the show. How you doing?
I'm doing fantastic, Daniel. Welcome back, my friend. Welcome back.
Yeah, I'm glad to be back.
I want to make sure that today, hey, I know we've got a busy show, but at some point I'd like to hear a little bit about your recent trip to Peru, my friend.
Yeah, well, let's talk about that. I mean, we'll jump into the topic of retail's biggest threat, especially this time of year. Someone asked me the other day, why do they call it Black Friday? My son was asking me, don't everybody shop? I said, they're talking about the bottom line. They're talking about the bottom line. They hope that they're going to get out of debt, you know, on Black Friday. I said, but unfortunately, you know, Johnny, this year it seemed like Black Friday started on Black Monday. You know, it just keeps changing. But anyway, let me give you a little bit about my trip. Johnny, I got to tell you, I've been really grateful. As you know, from August until just yesterday, I put on over 100,000 flight miles, and that's in 5 months. And so I was really, really traveling a lot. I'm very grateful to have been able to do that and very grateful to be working. But even more important, you know, I just got back from Peru for the third time this year. And nothing gives me more joy than spending time in the Sacred Valley, Cusco, Machu Picchu, Pizac, Ollantaytambo, and all those beautiful spiritual cities that just seem to have been untouched by modern times. And, you know, I always take folks with me. And as a matter of fact, I've scheduled an event that you and I need to talk about in June, specifically for business, that another group asked me to put together. And that'll be up here soon also. But it was an amazing trip. I mean, there's one thing about getting out of our modern world and getting a chance to reflect on our lives or on my life and getting a chance to see just how grateful I am, even when things are tough. And this trip, Johnny, for me was probably one of the tougher trips. I've been going to Peru off and on now for almost 8 years. And this one was a little bit more difficult than most because I never get sick. And from my stomach, because, you know, when you go to third world countries, you always got to be careful about water and all the different things that could make you ill. This time, not only did I get ill and had to have a doctor come in and give me an injection and check my vitals, I fell down a flight of stairs trying to carry my luggage down, you know. You know, so here I am, you know, hobbling along, and I mean, when you're hurting from falling down a flight of stairs and you got to get to the bathroom, it ain't fun, brother. So I got to tell you.
Hey, Daniel, if I could call out something here for our listeners, and Paul, you don't know. Daniel doesn't even drink, so that's what even makes this even more fun.
Yeah, that's the funny thing, you know. I mean, I fell on my own. I mean, I just fell on my own, you know. And it's funny because it'd be different if I could say I was drunk, but no, I just fell on my own, you know. And I got to tell you, though, when I got to the bottom, there was no one to help me, so I just laid there, right? And I thought, man, I'm getting old. This is too much. But anyway, the trip was amazing. I had a great time. You know, this time of year, I want to say this because, I was talking to one of my clients from Cambodia this morning, and one of the things that we've got to realize right now, and I know this is not what the show's about, we'll get to the retail thing in just a minute. If you're thinking about getting ready for 2016 on January 1st, you're behind the eight ball. It ain't going to work. You've got to set into motion and create the vacuum that the universe, God, source, whatever you choose to call it, can fill. Because if you don't create the vacuum and you still have it clogged with all the crap that you've been hanging on to, then all you're going to get is the same old thing. And I was having that discussion this morning with my client and saying, if you're dating the same person or married to the same person or have the same job or whatever it may be, whatever the situation may be for you, and you're wondering why your life's still the same way, it might be because you're not giving the universe any space to act. You're not creating a vacuum. And that's one of the things that I came away from this trip, Johnny, is that we've got to continually create a vacuum that allows the magic of life to be able to play in that space and to create energy. You know, and for those of you that may be thinking, well, how do I do that? I'll give you one little simple thing you can do to start creating the movement of energy in your life. Clean a closet. Clean a closet. Clean a garage. Do something, but throw away things that you no longer use, or give them away, for better yet, give them away to the Salvation Army or somebody. Start getting rid of things that you're hanging on to just because you have an attachment to it. And when you begin to do these things, wonderful things happen in your life because you create a vacuum. You create a vacuum, and before you fill it, let's talk about dating if it happens to be a boyfriend or a girlfriend, before you fill it, wait a minute, let's see if something else will automatically fill into that space. So for me, Johnny, this trip was really about, you know, what kind of vacuums can I feel? This time of year, I start thinking about what relationships, you know, I have this process that I call in my first book, Stepping into Greatness, called purging. And I purge people out of my life every 30 to 90 days. And it's so funny because people will always go, I haven't heard from you. Did you purge me? I said, well, it's not. It sounds kind of bad, but it really isn't. What I'm doing is I'm moving through my relationships and removing those that no longer serve me, or maybe I don't serve them. It doesn't mean I won't have coffee with them or have dinner with them. It just means that I'm creating space, creating vacuum for new relationships to come in, new opportunities to come in, and I can't do that if I got the same old people stuck in there. So that was kind of the gist of my trip, Johnny. I mean, it was, gosh, it was amazing. I hope you'll travel with me next year. You know, next year we're doing Peru twice so far, and in October we'll be doing India. And I'm really, really excited about India next year because we're going to be working with the yogis there on Ayurvedic medicine and yoga. So I may end up with another doctor yet there too. I might get in a position and not come out. Actually, Johnny, I was practicing yoga going down the stairs. You ought to see the positions I got into.
My advice moving forward is maybe you sleep in a tent or stay on the first floor regardless.
No, I've already said no more stairs. I'm staying. If I have to sleep on the floor, so be it.
That's awesome. You know, something you said here, though, Daniel, I think it is pertinent to today's conversation. We'll get into here briefly. But when you talk about making room for other things, use the example of clean out your closet, your garage, throw away, and purging relationships, and or a better way to say it, I think what you said so nicely was making room for other relationships, individuals, and interactions that will help take you to ultimately where your destiny is as you meant to be. And so many things happen when we come to January, you know, all fitness club memberships increase, and then, you know, it's a known fact. If anyone is involved in franchising or health clubs or anything like that, it's, you know, how memberships get spiked way up and then they gradually go down throughout the year and they continue to decrease and so forth and so on. But ultimately, it is about planning. And it's literally, you know, it's like how many layers of the onion are you really peeling back and how deep do you go? Because it really comes down to what brings you peace and serenity. And one of the things I like about these trips, and we joke about them, and I would even draw the parity with, you don't have to go to Peru, India, Mexico, Banff,
wherever.
Right. Ultimately, I would draw a parallel with, think about times when you go and you have coffee, like your favorite coffee shop with one of your favorite people, and how inspired you feel to go out and do greater things. I'm not talking about climb Mount Everest, but that you really feel energized to pursue whatever your life's dream is, or to give you that extra energy to go out and pursue something, or sit down and just get deep in thought, if that's all it is, regardless. I mean, those are the types of things that you're talking about, and I just think it's important that people don't miss that. It's not you know, make room for maybe it's the next big job, but it doesn't have to be life-changing necessarily in terms of financials, people, places, or things. So much of it's internal. And I think for me, reflecting on some of your Facebook exchanges and the brief conversation you and I had last night even was, that's what I got out. That's, for me, that my perception was that's what so much of it you took away from this visit was you really went deep in yourself and walked away with maybe just more a more renewed sense of where you are and who you are, where you want to be.
Yeah, you know, and it's true. And you said something that's very important and something that I think any company should consider, even individuals, but especially individuals, and that is everything from a company, as we're talking about retail today and the way that they operate during the holidays or they don't operate during the holidays, to individuals who are looking for more peace and tranquility or a better life, it's all an inside job. It's all an inside job. We think that it's someone on the outside. And that's true about business, too. We always think, well, if I had a better machine or if I had a better location. You know, I've seen, and you've done this, too, that some of the worst locations that shouldn't be doing business do the most because it's what's on the inside of that building that makes a big difference. And today, you know, one of the things that we're talking about is, you know, retailers being concerned with their e-commerce capabilities, the threat of Amazon. I mean, talk about Amazon. I was telling you earlier, Joni, I don't even like going into a store because I shop on Amazon. You know, I do my and part of that is because of what you said later on in the conversation here is that, you know, brick and mortar's environments are consistently delivering dismal, not even kinda dismal customer experiences and with poorly trained, uninterested employees, you know, and people seem to think that it's the employee. What, you being kind of newly out of that market and really kind of specializing in that area, I mean, what do they do now? I mean, they've got, what, 10 days, 9 days? And this party's over.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, I think it's a couple of things. When I think about just retail in general and when this show was posted, what I immediately went to is, as a retailer, and large, small, it doesn't matter what size you are, there's so much concern, rightfully so, that you got heavy players out there like an Amazon, right? Canopy and all these, and rest assured, it's not slowing down. More and more companies, if you pull up on Google today, the top 100 internet sites, the lion's share of them are retail internet. And ones that you've never heard of. And as soon as you start delving in, you're like, oh, my gosh, this is a cool site. This is a cool retailer. And in today's social media environment, it doesn't take long for those apps to start showing up in your neighbor's phone, your brother's phone, whomever. And they just,
right.
You know, they just grow at a perpetual rate. What I think is interesting and alarming for me is twofold. One, retailers, yes, rightfully have a reason to be concerned about some of those spaces. But one, are they distracted? Are they so distracted by all of these other things going on in the industry, the economy, so forth and so on, that they're maybe not losing sight, but not investing, or potentially are they divesting in their biggest and most important asset? Now, as a retailer, you have your number one and two expenses are payroll and supply chain inventory, right? I'm not talking about payroll in terms of putting bodies on the floor, no matter what your retail environment is. I'm talking about investing in the human capital. Maybe whether it's your leader, whether it's your employee, so forth and so on. What I think is more interesting is something you said a little bit ago. You talked about, I shop at Amazon, not just for the speed, but because whether the brick-and-mortar store doesn't have what I want, it's easier for me, right?
Mm-hmm.
I will tell
Absolutely.
You that I've had conversations recently, and I've been touching this on my own because it's the holiday season. My beautiful bride and I have been able to go out and do some holiday shopping. And I always pay, and it's because, you know, I've spent virtually my entire adult life in that type of environment. I pay close attention when I'm out in any environment where there's a certain level of customer service engagement. What I think is, what concerns me more is people aren't just saying, go to the retailer and I take a look, you know, they talk at the, you know, the showroom, and I look at the product and I go back home and buy it online. That's what I hear. It's not I like it because it's efficient, it's effective, I don't have to get out of my pajamas, it's free shipping. What I'm hearing more of now, which alarms me, is the reason I buy it online is because I'm tired of being treated so poorly when I go into the retail environment. I'm tired of employees not looking at me. I'm tired of them not saying hi. I'm tired of making mistakes. Mm-hmm. When I walk in, I'm taking them away from something that they were doing that was more important than me. And I'm tired of trying to joke around and try to prod a smile out of them. So I'll give you an example. So my local coffee shop, Starbucks. I go to Starbucks, and it's interesting. I've got two of them, right? One is newer than the other, and God bless them. They're learning. They're picking up. But I will go out of my way to go to this Starbucks. And I go out of my way because when I walk in there, it's like a big celebration, right? Everybody jokes around. Hey, Johnny, how are you today? They know your drink. They ask about the family. And keep in mind, these aren't necessarily full. These aren't grown adults. They're not children, but they're very young adults. And they're smiling. They're having fun. And they're genuinely interested in you, who you are, more as a person than as a customer. Oh, and by the way, while we're talking about your family, I'm ringing up your drink. I'm making your drink. I'm putting smiley faces on your drink and writing your name on it and doing all of those things while we have this conversation. So the question is, why do you think I go to Starbucks? Right? You and I, Daniel, we have this conversation where we gather and we swing by and grab our tea.
Yep.
We do it because of the experience, the engagement. What I think it scares the hell out of me is that I go to these locations, I go to retailers, and I'm not picking on any retailer. I'm not going to name any retailer, but I will tell you, I go into these environments, and they lack product knowledge. And I've even had them say, take me over to the screen and say, well, let's pull it up here and start taking me through the various, you know, product features or, you know, dimensions, so forth and so on. And, I mean, that to me is the bigger of all the concerns retail should have is what is that experience like in the brick-and-mortar environment? And I guess this is the question that I have. And as you think about it, one of the most natural things that we talk about in retail or any industry, no matter what industry you're in, is it's how we measure performance. And it's how do you measure things like culture? How do you measure whether or not you have a happy, fulfilling environment? How do you measure not whether, you know, Jacob at Starbucks, how do you measure the fact that he always knows your name? He walks in, he's all excited to tell you what he's going on in his personal life. He's always interested to hear about what you got in your own personal life. And I don't know about you, Daniel, and I know you've been very successful in a retail environment, in a very challenged retail environment. And I guess before I start, you know, divulging kind of my perspective on it, I'd be really curious to hear yours because you did it firsthand. And, by the way, you were in a very, not only competitive environment, a very diverse and one of the most challenging markets in the United States. Yet, you had some of the best employee interaction, some of the best culture, the happiest employees, high-fiving, so forth and so on. I'd like to hear your perspective on it.
Well, you know, I think we talked about this in one of our shows back when we were doing the 15 diseases of leadership, according to Pope Francis. And that is that the a retail location, be it a super mega store or a mom and pop, takes on the personality of the owner and or the general manager. And when I walk into a store and get treated badly, I can bet that employee is being treated badly or that they've seen behavior by the general manager or owner that has given them permission to do the same. And so I very quickly, because I've been in that situation, recognize that if you walk in and browbeat your employees, especially during holidays, they're not really going to care to be there. They're just going to show up, and they're going to do what they have to do to get the job done. And I think that reflects also on the rest of the staff or the rest of the retail employees throughout the rest of the organization. So I think when I was managing difficult situations, for me, I always thought, you know, if I treat them well, they'll treat my employees well. I mean, my customers well, if my customers will be happy. And there is nothing that is worse than having a line of people ready to chew you out for 30, 40, 50, or even 2 hours. They're just not.
Right.
It's not any fun. And so I think that this time of year, people are stressed out. Retailers are trying to hit their numbers, and they forget the very simple thing that you know, and this goes back to the work that we do today, Johnny, and that is that we've got to be mindful that these are people. We're dealing with people, not animals. We're dealing with people, not robots. We're dealing with individuals with families. We're dealing with mothers who have kids that are sick at home. We got to get back to understanding and connecting to our humanness. And I think during this time of year also, one of the challenges that I think the retail environment has with employees that may not be treating well or retail brick-and-mortar locations that have horrible management is that, you know, they're already overtasked and overstressed and overworked during this time of year. And there seems to be no – I don't know if you remember this, Johnny, but back in the day when I was actually in a retail location many, many years ago, I would do barbecues this time of year. I would do barbecues for the employees and cook for them so they wouldn't have to leave the store. Now, that was somewhat selfish. It was somewhat selfish on my point, but at the same time, they loved it. They loved it, you know, because they felt they were taken care of. So I think that if retail locations are going to get a foothold on people buying from the internet, I don't think that's ever going to stop. I think the numbers that I heard before I left for Peru on the Monday after Thanksgiving were like 20 to 30% higher than they were last year. Like, people are catching on. They're catching on, and I think if retailers are going to be sticking around and being part of the local economy, they're going to have to start going back to the basics. And this is the interesting thing about our world today, Johnny, is that everything that we teach today about employee engagement and treating employees well, mindfulness, 73% of our lives are spent at work. 73%, that's an average. I looked at several studies. It was 73% as an average, the amount of time that we spend at work. My goodness, and there's a huge responsibility for these big companies to provide some peace and tranquility for the people at work. Because if you take the rest of what's left, some of that sleep, and then you got a little teeny weeny weeny bit for you or your family. So I think that's where the breakdown is. Does it really matter? I know the cost of doing business is high, and brick and mortar stores are finding it harder and harder to make margins. But I know there's stores out there that don't have great margin but great employees, and you have a good example of Starbucks who, they treat their employees well and their employees are happy. And because they're happy, they do little silly things like I saw on Facebook a friend of mine posted that she had forgotten to go to Starbucks one day, and when she went the next day, the barista put on the cup, mañana, tomorrow, ? Are you coming? Well, I thought that was cool that he even noticed that she didn't show up.
Yep.
And these are the kinds of things I think that we're talking about, and I think it boils down to, again, employers really recognizing that although, CEOs and C-suite level individuals have a direct report to the board of directors and stockholders, they also got a direct report to the employees because they're the ones that keep their jobs. So I think that we may be preaching to the choir for those of you that are listening in. We love feedback and hope that in the coming year we'll have more of you participate in our conversations. I'm going to give the number out in case someone's listening right now wants to call in, 347-677-1965. Next week is the Christmas Eve, and then New Year's Eve will be the 31st, so we're going to be actually taking a break. We've been on the air for a year, Johnny. Can you believe that?
Isn't that awesome?
A whole year. Yeah, it's great. Johnny and I are going to take a couple of weeks off and kind of sit back and see how we can make this a better show for you and get you more engaged so you won't be hearing from us again until January 7th. But we can already say it right out. We're going to be here. We'll be back next year. Kind of crazy to hear that. 2016. But anyway, that's my take on it, Johnny. I think I'm going to always keep going back to something I thought you and I always did well when we were out managing thousands and thousands of people, and that is take care of the employee. And they take care of you.
That's it. Daniel, I guess, as we wind down the call here for the last call of the year, and I'm going to do a quick shout-out here before we go in a minute, but ultimately this is what I would say. If you are a leader, retail leader, in any capacity, it's when you talk about employee engagement, we're not talking about when you're out there on the retail floor during business hours, connecting customers or connecting employees with customers to make sure they're being helped. That's not what we're talking about. What I'm talking about is the time when, in not only when you're on the floor connecting customers with employees, that's not all you're doing. It's those times that, what type of environment are you making it? Are you making it fun? Are you making it high energy? Are you making it inspirational, right? And this isn't, okay, it's my turn to lead, so I'm going to go out. This is what I'm going to do during this time. I'm going to really make everyone happy in their job. This is what they talk about employee culture. The most important time you can invest, other than education, communication, you know, the whole measurement, follow-up, and performance management aspects, because those are all important, they're all relevant, and they're all critical in the retail environment. This is what I tell you. It's the time that you're not on that sales floor, and it's the time that you're interacting and engaging with these leaders one-on-one. These line-level employees, where they work 10 hours a week or 40 hours a week, it's getting to know them, find out what's going on away from work, and always showing a genuine interest. And when you do that, and you do that on a regular basis, it goes back to what you said earlier, Daniel. If they genuinely feel, truly feel like they're cared about through management, and they can come to you in openness and honesty, no matter what they've got going on in their life, and they know you're going to listen, and maybe not solve it for them necessarily, but just listen and know that they're there, so they don't have to leave everything at the front door when they come into work, that goes an awful long way. And I just think the more we can do that, or this next year, any industry, it ultimately comes down to our connections with other human beings. And for me, I just, the more love and compassion we can show to each other, we just win every industry. I do want a shout out here quick, Daniel. I'm doing the show remotely today because I had the wonderful opportunity to go see two of my nephews, Joey and Jacob, at their local school Christmas play this year. So Joey did an amazing job playing the piano, and JoJo was the best Charlie Brown I've ever seen in my life, including the TV show. So those are the guys, they were absolutely awesome. So it's been a wonderful day today because of that.
I love it. I love it. Well, folks, we're out of time. Not only are we out of time, we're out of this year. And we want to thank you and appreciate you for listening in. And we are looking forward to a wonderful year next year of programming. We encourage you to send us your ideas, topics you want to hear. We're here for you. So until next year on January 7th when we come back, you can still check back. We'll have a couple of shows that will be uploaded there during those particular two Thursdays. Until then, have a wonderful holiday season and a very prosperous new year. And Johnny and I will catch you on January 7th, 2016.
You've been listening to Awakening Spirituality in Business Today with Daniel Gutierrez and Johnny Hernandez. To provide feedback, listen to more episodes, or learn how Daniel and Johnny can help you in your business, visit their websites at livingwithpurpose.today or danielgutierrez.com. You can also call them directly at 1-805-764-1463. Thank you again for listening. The personal fulfillment and professional success you've been searching for is within your reach. Lead with your heart and live a life of purpose today.